pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading that final verse, verse 9, one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And looking in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you once again for your word, which guides us, molds us, shapes us, and empowers us to walk in your wisdom, your grace, your power, your courage and boldness, and so much more. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to become believers who are wise enough to live in your word, to walk in its power, its wisdom, and its grace continually, to trust in you and to know that your word can always be trusted. Your word is fully reliable and so much more. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Empower us more and more to be the faithful hearers and doers you've called us to be. We place the broadcast in your hands. I pray that you use it to do a mighty work. Exploits in the hearts of every listener for your glory. Use it somehow or another to touch billions plus for your glory and the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to you today with grateful hearts. What a kind God you are to stoop down and to love us, to send your Son on purpose to die a terrible death on the cross for us. Father, we rejoice in that today. We thank you for that today. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be our guide, would be the guide to our listeners as they hear this program today, that they would hear what you have to say to them and respond in a way that brings you much honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Just a reminder to our listeners, Our Ten Commandments speech contest. Our words are trying to twist, looks like here. Our speech contest ends the last day in this month, and it's been a wonderful journey so far. I've had quite a few young people that have participated. And you may recall we've had a number of our young people to come on and share their speeches. Well, we're blessed to have us with us today. One of the participants in the Ten Commandments Project, Isis Walker. Isis is 15 years old. She's going to be a sophomore this year, and Isis is going to share with us her Ten Commandments speech. Isis, go right ahead.
Hi. Yes, thank you for having me. Today I have chosen to speak about the Sixth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Murder. But first, I would like to give a brief recap on what the commandments are. The Ten Commandments are biblical rules that state the basic religion and moral idea of Judaism and Christianity. The Ten Commandments, according to the Bible, were given from God to the Israelite leader Moses on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were written on tablets by God for the Israelites. As Moses came down from the mountain, he was in shock and utter disbelief that the Israelites were worshiping a golden calf. Enraged at the idol worship, Moses then smashed the tablets. But at God's command, he carved the commandments into other stone tablets. The Israelites then kept it in a wooden ark. However, the Christian teachers believe God has stamped the commandments on the heart, mind, and souls of all human beings to remember what thus saith the Lord. The Ten Commandments appear twice in the Old Testament, in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 to 21. The two versions differ slightly in grammar, but the message is still the same. The first group of the commandments deal with the duties towards God, and the second group concerns relations among persons. I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, Thou Shalt Not Murder, because to me it takes one out of life, and God wants us to live and prosper in this world. Thou Shalt Not Murder is in reference to taking of innocent lives, not in reference to eating food. Even animals killed to eat and are killed to be eaten. This is just one of God's many designs. Thou shalt not murder is a commandment that God has given us to obey. It was intended to stress the fact that life is sacred, that God alone gives life, and that no individual has the right to arbitrarily take it from another person. The commandment refers to premeditated, unjustified killing. What does unjustified mean? It means not shown to be right or reasonable. It means the taking of a life of an innocent person. God ordered righteous judgment on people whose corruption had led to extreme misery. God yet does not give man the right to take the law in his hands. In my conclusion, I believe if we as people would follow the rules set by God, we would not have all the murder, especially in our youth. Youth today needs more encouragement from their parents, teachers, and society. I have been told that it takes a village to raise a child. Parents need to get their basic instruction from the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.
All right, Isis, beautiful speech. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that. Well, Isis, again, we're grateful to have you as a part of the Ten Commandments Project, and thank you for taking the time to share such a powerful speech. Just a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. How would you say, Isis, your participation in the Ten Commandments Speech Project so far, how has that encouraged you in your faith?
How has that encouraged me?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it encouraged me to want to do right by God. It encouraged me to want to get better with my life and get better in the hands of God. It encouraged me to just want to be better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you again. And also, in view of how the experience has been on your journey, would you encourage other young people to get involved with a project like this?
Oh, yes, of course. I would really want my friends and others to get involved, you know, because I see all this stuff going around, young ladies want to act older than themselves, and young boys want to be in gangs and selling drugs, and I don't like the thought of that because, you know, people get killed over that stuff.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, Isis, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your speech and sharing your heart as well. Father, we pray a special prayer for Isis, Father, pour your mercy, grace, and peace mightily upon her, and bless her, and use her as a bright, shining witness amongst her peers and others, Lord. Use her speech, Lord, to bless many and to encourage many. And I pray that you'd raise up many more young people like Isis that want to speak out and share truth as they follow you. Bless her mightily. Bless her as she enters her sophomore year of high school. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Isis, amen. Thanks so much for being with us today, okay? All right, again, a beautiful speech by Isis, a high school student that's one of the participants in the Ten Commandments Speech Contest. I want to ask and invite every single listener, pray much for all the participants, but also pray that believers will catch a vision for the fact that in the kingdom of God, we need to not only disciple our young people, we need to put them to work in the kingdom in this way. They can be bright, standing warriors for the kingdom of God, even at a very young age, as we help to plant the Word of God in them, teach them to pray, and teach them how to be witnesses and ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Father, thank you, Lord, again, for all the young people that have participated in the project. Lord, do a mighty work in their lives. Stir them to become mighty warriors for your kingdom that live for Jesus Christ more and more. And thank you for your presence in their lives. Thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you're wanting more information about the Ten Commandments Project, just email us. We're glad to send it to you. And if you want to learn about the different sides of the project, where you can take it and use it in your church, in your family, in your community, we'd be glad to share information with you to help you to do just that. For the balance of our broadcast, we're honored to have as our phone guest today, Sister Abina Banda. She's a minister in the Ghana Methodist Church of North America. Sister Abina, how are you today?
I am blessed, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, doing very well. Very good, very good. Honored to have you with us. This is our first time of having you on the broadcast. I want to ask if you'll take a moment to just a little bit further introduce yourself to our listeners to let them know a little bit more about you and your ministry.
Thank you. And hello to everybody. God bless all of you. Truly an honor to be here, Pastor. Like you said, my name is Abina Banda. I am originally from Ghana, born and raised in Ghana. And I say I'm manifested in the United States. That's how I describe myself. Mm-hmm. I am a member of the Ebenezer Methodist Church, the Ghana Mission, which we call the Ghana Conference of the Methodist Church, here in the Washington Circuit, that's where I'm based in the D.C. area. I also am a businesswoman. I have two businesses, one a consulting firm and the other a healthcare agency that we do work with adult and pediatric patients. And then, most importantly, which should have come first, that's usually what I go with first, I am a child of the Most High God. I love God, everything about Him, and I live, breathe, and literally desire for the greater gift, like you said. We do, I say we, because sometimes, you know, when you personalize things like I, it's like you're doing it alone, but we have amazing people in the kingdom of God that we work with. My passion has been really working with women and young children, and it is igniting the spirit of prayer in them. So I have a group of women that we meet. It's called Lipstick, High Heels, and Prayer. And it was based off the fact that you see a lot of women in the marketplace, or even men as well. Well, I know more about women than men because I'm a woman. But we don't have the confidence to proclaim God. We don't want to let people know that we love the Lord or even share the Lord in the marketplace. So
Sister Bina, we're going to have to jump in here for the break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. We'll be right back. Our phone guest today is Sister Abina Banda. She's, again, from the Ghana Methodist Church of North America. We'll be right back.
You are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are great.
You are strong and mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no one else like you.
No one can
you
do
are
the things. You're the beginning.
The music of Jennifer Miko, Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Sister Abina Bonda. She's a minister in the Ghana Methodist Church of North America. Sister Abina, if you'll pick up there where you left off, please.
Yes, please. So what I was talking about was igniting the act of prayer, the spirit of prayer in the hearts of women, especially in the marketplace, wherever you are. And so we've been able and we've been glad to have a few women that have become voices in wherever they are on the job front. We realize that, you know, in the workplace and the work environment, people are not very confident to share their faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we are confident to talk about, you know, sports. We are confident to talk about fashion and everything else. But there's a lot of restriction, and sometimes you feel very constricted in that environment. So my mission and my passion is to create that system where women, wherever they are, have the confidence to speak of God and speak freely without any intimidation and really without any remorse or anything like that. So we've started doing that. We pray a lot. I look at my ministry more like a prayer ministry. That's what I look at it. Really just supporting all ministries all over the world. We do a lot of intercessory prayer.
Mm-hmm.
For the things that concern women all over the world, and for women in leadership and women in ministries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little bit. And just to clarify, so the Methodist, I'm not a minister of the Methodist, I'm a member there, but I have my ministry outside that as well, that we get together with women and pray.
I see.
Had an opportunity to be able to speak at various girls' conferences and women's events as well, which has been a blessing to me and to them. And I'm always looking for opportunities to see what God would do with me next. So
okay.
Here I am. And today I'm here. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get into kind of the main topic you were going to share, would you pray for our listeners, for them to really have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit would like to share with them today?
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this moment. Oh, Lord, I pray for the American Family Radio family that are listening this moment, even the ones that are going to play back the podcast later, oh God. There is no distance in the realm of the Spirit. And Lord, I have seen and I've been a witness to what people can do, even just listening to the podcast, what your Spirit can do in people. So, Father, I pray and I ask, oh Lord, that you manifest yourself in them, oh Lord. Father, for the one that is brokenhearted, the one that is wondering, how do I get out of this situation, oh God? I pray that at the end of this podcast, oh Lord, you will show them the way, and you are going to minister to every soul, every heart, and every spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Abina. Today, you are going to share some about the topic, why you need an altar of prayer. So if you'll share both, define how you're using those terms, as well as get right into that topic, please.
Thank you. So, a lot of times we have seen the body of Christ where we come to salvation and somehow we do not activate the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you were reading Ephesians chapter 6, verse, if you go to 18, well, if you start from the 15 going on there, you get to 18, but praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The Jesus that we are modeling, he was a man of prayer. There was nowhere that Jesus ever stood to manifest or speak that he did not pray. Everything he did was prayer. But we notice that most of the time we get very comfortable as believers. is because maybe we haven't understood the power of prayer. We have not understood that without prayer, we really cannot do anything. I've been in environments and you see people, you know, at their lowest and wondering, what can I do? Prayer saved my life. Prayer saved my family. And I hope that one day I'll get a chance to share with you for you to understand some of the families that we came from, some of the territories that we come from, the dark territories and other things. Prayer I have seen lately, Pastor, just doing amazing things in people's lives. It is the portal through which we communicate. And a lot of times we've created a tangible thing around altar. When you talk about altar, people are thinking, I have to get a nice little stool, get a little rug, and put it there. That's not what we're talking about here. The prayer altar is a portal, And let me break it down really about our spiritual power as believers. Our spiritual life is measured by the healthiness of our prayer life. Without prayer, we don't have a spiritual life. We do not. And if we are not spiritual, then we cannot host the presence of God. And a lot of times we have a lot of believers, but we don't have the presence of God manifesting through them because we do not pray. And there are various dimensions of prayer. The Bible itself literally admonishes every believer. It says, pray without ceasing. Do not stop to pray. In Thessalonians, that's what it said. Do pray without ceasing. You cannot not stop to pray. But I've seen where we just get very comfortable. Sometimes we get very comfortable with our 5-minute prayer. But then there are things and atmospheres that are created around us that we can't seem to control. The whole world is an atmosphere. Wherever you find yourself is an atmosphere. And as believers, we have to create the atmosphere that we live in. It is not just in your home. It is you being at the grocery store. Wherever you are, an atmosphere is speaking around you. And that atmosphere is the presence that you carry. So if you're not carrying the presence of God, you will become a victim to somebody else's spiritual atmosphere. So the truth is, how do we carry that correct atmosphere? That because of you, that you are in a store, and because of the atmosphere that you carry, no evil will walk into the store. That because I am sitting here on this parkway, no evil, no car is going to upturn. That is where we need to really train our heart and our spirit man to get to. There is nothing you cannot do with prayer. I do not know anything that cannot be done with prayer. The dead are rising. The lame walks again. Blind people are seeing. People are getting out of death situations. Everything is based on prayer. So one, it is very important that we create that spiritual atmosphere that is filled with prayer for God to manifest. Prayer itself is the authorization, God's authorized system of fellowship with us. So think about it. Like you're sitting in your home and, you know, you're not talking. You're watching TV all day. Okay, God is not sitting on the TV. But as soon as you start engaging him, you start talking to him, he comes through. And prayer has become life and breath, living breath for me. I don't know where I'll be really. If I shared my testimonies, you're going to need a whole 24 hours broadcast. But I wouldn't know where I would have been without the act of prayer. And so let me clarify what really is an altar, right? We talk about altar, and then people think, okay, I got to create this little thing. We shouldn't idolize that. I get it. I think a movie came out called War Room, and I've seen a lot of women tell me how they cleaned out their whole closet and made it a prayer room, and that is awesome. But for me, I look at it as my whole house is an altar of prayer. So I don't have to stand in one corner of the house wherever I stand to pray. It was. I sense the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If I'm sitting in my backyard under a tree, whether I'm, you know, garden, whatever it is, the power of God is being manifested because I walk around my entire property praying. And that is what we are trying to, it's the atmosphere. Your altar is the portal. So I wanted to clarify that. You become a portal of prayer yourself. If you look in the Old Testament, there were a lot of altars created. Now, when you come to the New Testament, Jesus became an altar of prayer. He embodied prayer. And then after he left and brought us the Holy Spirit ignited that portal in us. And I'm very happy that Ephesians says that, praying at all times in the Spirit. So there is prayer and there is prayer. I tell my friends there's a difference between saying a quick 30 seconds grace, at the table for us to eat, and then there is a difference between praying for hours. The women that we engage in, we just start to pray. We don't time ourselves. Just by the time we are done, we realize we've been praying for 3 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. And when you get into that level of prayer, something opens up your spirit, man. You move from realm to realm, dimension to dimension. And so how do we engage? How do we legislate? I pray and I hope that we all know that we are all spirit beings. If you're a believer, you should know that. We are spirit beings. Everything that is happening in the realm of the physical, which is the physical realm, is already legislated in the spirit realm. There is nothing that happens physically that has not already been orchestrated in the spirit realm. I mean, you don't go to bed and wake up with a migraine and think that's normal. I have stopped becoming normal. I don't look at anything and go, like, oh, that's normal. I'm dehydrated. Oh, no. I went to bed whole. I have to wake up whole. That's my policy. And that's my philosophy. And the devil knows that's where I stand. Whatever God has implanted in my body, you will not plant. So if something is speaking in my life, be it my health, my relationships, my family, business, that does not have the hand of God in it. Because what he said is, my plans for you are good. They are to prosper you and to give you hope for the future. So if something is not prospering in my life, then I have to know that somebody has planted that and it is not God. So one, we have to create a very spiritual atmosphere around us, and we can only do that through prayer. Now, the altar is a system of authorization. Anything that authorizes the spirit realm to make contact with the physical realm, that's your altar. Whatever authorizes the spirit realm to make contact with your physical realm. So when you become a portal of prayer, because you're open up to the spirit of God, you're authorizing heavens to speak on your behalf. If you read Psalm 115, verse 6 and Ezekiel chapter 22, you will understand how God limited himself in the creation of man. God needs man to authorize. And it used to blow my mind. Like, why would he always tell Moses, tell them, do this, do that? So he's God. Why can't he just do it? Why does he need Moses to say something? You know, why does he need the prophets to say something? Is it Ezekiel prophesied to these dry bones? If Ezekiel didn't prophesy, nothing was going to happen. So you and I have to understand, God needs us to speak. He needs us to channel the act of prayer. And what I love really about somewhere in Genesis where Abraham was walking by one day, you know, so he had an encounter somewhere, created an altar there to the Lord. Could you believe years later, Jacob walked past the same place. He grabbed a stone, laid his head on, and he saw angels descending and ascending. He said, oh, my goodness, the Lord was here, and I knew no. Somebody created an altar there. So altars can speak for generations to come. You are a grandmother. You are a mother. You're a grandfather. What altar are you creating for your family, for the generations of your family to come? What are you, putting in your spirit as people? For that thing to speak in your life. Because I've seen a lot of people that say, my grandmother brought me to the Lord. My grandmother taught me how to pray. That's what you call an altar. She didn't just pray. She didn't just speak. She taught you. She brought you to a close relationship with the Lord. So you yourself can be altar. An altar is not just a physical monument. I hope that I've clarified that enough. But an altar is a portal. You can open up yourself to be an altar. Your child, however young they are, can be a portal of prayer for the Lord. And human beings themselves can be altars. I look at the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 19. You know, when he was up, when Saul was pursuing David, and David had taken cover, I call it a shield or cover, with the prophet Samuel. And Saul got there. He started prophesying too. It was an atmosphere of the prophetic that was just manifested, and people were like, wait a minute, is Saul too a prophet? That's what an atmosphere can do. That is what prayer can do. You carry a certain presence that only you and the Holy Spirit can understand. But then guess what? It manifests for everybody around you to see. There are people who walk into a room and say, oh my God, you have an aura around you. That's the power of God. That's the presence of God. So one, why really do we need a prayer altar? I want to talk about why we need a prayer altar. Haven't understood that an altar, is the system of authorization for the realm of the spirit to make contact with the physical realm. Why do we need an altar of prayer? One, the Bible and the Lord commands all believers to pray. Pray without ceasing, he said. Jesus prayed at all times. When I looked at, I read in Matthew, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were some scriptures that described that the sweat that were coming out of his face were like droplets of blood. And I asked myself, wow, he can pray. A man can pray such that the very sweat felt like blood coming out of him.
Sister Mina, we're coming up on a break once again, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Sister Abena Bonda. We'll be right back. Toby Mack with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Sister Abena Bonda. Sister Abena, if you'll pick up where you left off there before the break.
Correct. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor. So what I was saying prior to the break was how Jesus prayed. So if we are really emulating the life of Christ, we have to be praying believers. Okay, I asked the body of Christ, I said, there are so many stands you can take in the spirit realm, you can take with the Lord. You can be a believer that just sits, you know, you go to church, you sit down and listen to the word, listen to the praise and worship, you know, or you could be one that walks, you know, you set action and, you know, helping the church, volunteering and other things, or you could be one that jogs and runs, you know, and then you could be one that also saw. So you have to decide. And if you look at most churches, the prayer ministry is usually the smallest, right? And rightly so. Do you know why? Because prayer is a sacrifice. I mean, Jesus prayed for till there was blood coming from his face. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy. But I do encourage you, do not let the prayer ministry scare you. A lot of people who hear the prayer ministry, they think, oh my goodness, I have to be here for hours and all. You will get to the place. You have to start little by little. It's like somebody making a conscious effort that I am going to start working out, okay? The first day, you probably could just go a block, right? And then you start building the capacity, you know? You start going from one realm to the other. A time will come when you're praying for 6 hours, you would not even know where the time went because you start getting an out-of-body experience. That's how the Holy Spirit works, you know? You don't show up and it's like, oh, Spirit of the Living God and manifest. No, if you've seen prophets and mighty men of God stand there and do signs and wonders, okay? They did not just show up. They've been praying for the last 10 hours. Mm-hmm. So by the time they get on the stage, something is part of that. And their prayer team is also praying. But it is a beautiful thing when you can take dominion. God wants us to take dominion. He says the heavens he created for himself, but the earth he gave to man. And he gave us power to take dominion. So I don't know about you, but if you are tired of where you are in life, if you are tired of rejection, if you are tired of disfavor, if you are tired of just really sitting through that sickness and disease, and some of us, you know, the devil has actually helped us to kind of become acclimatized to our situation, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is all we're going to get out of life. No. He has good plans for you. He has good plans for me. Mm-hmm. I sit down there. I said, no, I refuse to let the devil make a meal of my life. No, I refuse. I had to get up and say, enough is enough. I will not be a victim of anybody's altar. But, you know, I hope that one day we're going to have a lot of time to really also share about the kinds of territorial altars. There are workplaces, and I say this to people in the marketplaces, because mind you, the person that created the company created a certain altar and atmosphere. Now, it is up to you to sit in your office or your cubicle to carry a presence such that that company's atmosphere, however negative, will not affect you. There are people who are working, and all you're going to do is to work and work. You will never become as rich or even make any more money. You work, you get the paycheck, and you don't even know what you're doing with the paycheck. So you're constantly going to work. You can't even break out. I've met a lot of women like, I want to start my own business, but they can't. So you have to take control of your atmosphere, and you can only do that through prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer is a command from God. Prayer is what the Father is seeking, to have intimacy with us. Mm-hmm. It's for fellowshipping. Prayer is also a platform that you can grow and transform. When you come to salvation, the next thing for you to desire as a believer is to be transformed. And after you've been transformed, you want to be empowered. And when you are empowered, then you begin to walk in signs and wonders. That's what it is.
Sister Ben, before we go further, I want to ask if someone is thinking they'd like to get in touch with you, learn more about your ministry, or learn more of what you're speaking of, how could they get in touch with you?
Okay, well, if it's okay, I'll give my phone number.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't like texting much, but I am happy to take a phone call 80 days. It is 240-328-3255. That's my cell phone. 240-328-3255. I also have an appointment link. It's called a Calendly. If you look for anybody that's familiar with Calendly, it is Calendly. So it's not spelled like calendar. It's calendly.com/Abinabonda. And that is A for Apple, BENABONDAH. So either or, you can schedule a call with me. You can schedule a time. Let's talk. I look at everybody around me as a prayer friend to everyone. And just yesterday, I had a teenager girl call me out of the blue. She said, I had to go high and low to find your number, but I just needed somebody to talk to and pray with. And we have such a special time. So I know this is what God has laid on my heart. And so I can say no. It doesn't matter what time you call me. We can pray. So I hope the number helps, 240-328-3255. Or you could go on calendly.com/Abinabonda, ABENABONDAH.
Mm-hmm.
So Pastor,
all right.
Thank you. But as we wrap up here, I wanted to say that the prayer will keep your faith alive. Mm-hmm. And we need to move from using prayer for just requests and supplication, just as most believers do. That's really all we do. We start praying, dear Lord, thank you, Jesus. And the next minute, we're just asking for things. And prayer is what we're going to use to engage the warfare dimension of life.
Mm-hmm.
We read here that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. If you and I are arguing, that's one thing. But I have to understand the spirit that caused the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not normal for two people to cohabitate or live together in an environment and we can't get along. So what spirit? And everything is a spirit. Everything is a spirit. Once you understand that you yourself, your spiritual being, you will know that everything is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a warfare dimension to life. I don't need to go further. That's what Ephesians is telling you right here. Paul says, we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So you take up the full armor of God. There isn't any armor that I know that's better than prayer.
Hmm.
Even the word of God, you can only understand the word of God when you pray. If the Holy Spirit does not come, The Bible is like a compendium of words that can confuse you. You know, and I've seen a lot of people and had a lot of people try to interpret the Bible with their own physical intelligence. You need spiritual intelligence to understand what the Bible is saying. And you can only get that through prayer.
Well, our time is almost gone, Sister Bean. I wanted to ask if you pray for believers to grasp the important truths you've shared today and learn how to really begin to walk in that wisdom. Would you pray for them in that way?
Absolutely. Father God, we thank you for today, O Lord. My Lord, my God, I pray, O God, and I want to thank you for this opportunity, O God, for that person out there, Father, that is saying that, listen, I have no idea where to go. I have no idea where to start. I did not even understand that I needed prayer. All I've been told is that pray when you need stuff. Father, I am praying by the authority and your Spirit, O God. And I ask, O Lord, that you ignite a new fire of prayer in the body of Christ, O God. Father, you ignite a new hunger for prayer in them, O God.
Jesus.
Lord, I pray and I ask, O Lord, that you show yourself mighty and strong in lives of people. And Father, I pray, if there is anything that has been a hindrance to people's prayers, O God, any sin of any kind, any idols in the heart, an unforgiven spirit, O God, selfishness and wrong motives, Papa. Power-hungry, manipulative prayers, O God. Father, self-righteousness, unbelief, O Lord. The lack of compassion, hypocrisy, pride, meaningless prayer petition. Anything, O God, that is contending with believers' prayers to be answered, O Lord. I stand in the power of God and I stand in the name of Jesus. And I ask, O Lord, that you annihilate and take it all out in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I am praying, O God, that if there is anyone listening to this broadcast, O Lord, that is under the bondage of a wrong altar that is speaking against their lives, Papa, I pray, O Lord, and I set them free. You said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, or whatever we loose will be loose on earth. I pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord, every family, O God, every woman, every child, every father, every spouse, every leader, Father, you know them wherever they are. You know them wherever they are in their homes. I pray in the name of Jesus, let your spirit move right now, O God. Let your spirit touch them. Let your spirit heal them from every disease, O God. Father, if there is that child that has become a pain for the family, the family is like, I'm about to throw in the towel, O God. Ignite your spirit in them so they will stand and pray, because I have seen you do mighty things through prayer, O God. And there is nothing you cannot do and accomplish, Papa. So, Lord, I thank you. And I thank you for Pastor Parker. And I thank you for Producer Rick. I thank you for the American Family Radio Network of stations, wherever they are, Lord. Father, these stations are there to reveal you to the world, O God. So whatever is needed, O God, Father, in a world where people are suppressing us, O God, making us understand and accept beliefs that do not conform with your spirit, O God, this is what the station is here to do, to teach the world that there is a God, O God. So I pray that every program, O Lord, every presenter will be filled with your spirit, O God. Every word that comes out will be power-filled, O God. And Father, souls are going to be won for you wherever they are. And we pray for the leaders of our nation. Give them wisdom. Father, wisdom comes from you. You're the only one, O God, that can do what we have to do. We thank you, Jesus, and we bless you that you are God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, and thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Abina. You know, something I want to mention, and our listeners have heard me share this a number of times, but, you know, the Word of God, of course, spending time on the Word of God is a form of prayer as well. Of course, prayer is listening. It's talking to God. It's listening to God, and it's so many more things as well. But as we spend time in the Word, that too is a wonderful way whereby we pray, we walk with God, we hear His counseling voice and His insight. So, Sister Bena, you covered a lot of important ground. Share with the listeners one more time if they want to get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. My phone number, it is 240-328-3255. 240-328-3255. I'm on Eastern Standard Time.
All right. Thank you so much. And let me say this in the last few moments of the broadcast as usual. If you're listening today and you've never made this the extremely important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great and wonderful day to get saved. It's a great day to give your heart and your life to the Lord, to make the most important decision in all of life. If you want to make that step, simply pray this prayer with me if you would at this time. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Father, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, today I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We invite you to email us. Let us know if you made that decision. Pray that prayer. We'd like to share with you some literature to help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Sister Bina, thank you again so much for being with us today. And would you share your number one more time?
240-328-3255.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we will look forward to getting your book as you share more about this in writing as well. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day. God bless you all.
And thank you to all our listeners for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.